God forbid someone decided to drive to work and then use the shower because they wanted to go out that evening.
Welcome back to the Word Bullet Podcast, where we chat with the leaders in commercial real estate to answer all questions of space as a service. This podcast is for anyone involved in commercial real estate in any way. If you're an investor, fund manager, developer, property manager, agent, or broker, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm your host, Caleb Parker, and this episode was recorded outside Mipham on a boat in Cannes, France. Earlier this season, we learned how a building's wired score could drive value. What about its active score? Did you know there's an increasing cultural shift towards active travel, influencing the demand for buildings that support sustainable transportation options and facilities? This episode, I'm joined by James Nash, co-founder of Active Score, who helps building owners and developers amplify their customer experience and well-being for its customers by improving their sustainable transport offering. James and team have helped design and certify over 500 developments across North America, Latin America, Asia, the Middle East, Australia, and Europe, including 22 Bishopsgate in London, which we're going to talk about in this episode. ActiveScore has an impressive client list of some of the most well-known global investors, such as Blackstone, Brookfield, Lindley's, Vornado, Bentall Greenoak, Patrizia, and AXA IM, to name a few. I sat down with James to get the lowdown on their latest groundbreaking initiative, the Mode Score, and its impact on the commercial real estate market. Can active travel facilities drive value in buildings and impact leasing velocity? Keep listening to learn more, as well as some predictions on tracking emissions and carbon reduction based on mode of transport. Now, I said I recorded this episode on a boat. I was actually impressed how James repurposed an underutilized asset, the boat, into a dynamic, multifunctional space. See, this boat sits empty most of the time, waiting for someone to book it for leisure activity. But James repositioned it as an overnight accommodation, a meeting room, an event space, and a podcast studio. I recorded two episodes. Stay tuned for next week for the second one. Before we head into this floating studio with James, I want to give a big shout out to our headline sponsor this season, Freshwave. Freshwave is the connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, making sure mobile phone signal works in office buildings. Freshwave has connected some of the biggest, most challenging wireless environments in the UK, and they can be found in over 2,000 buildings nationwide. And let me tell you from personal experience, Freshwave improves customer satisfaction in office buildings. Now, Jeff, let's kick it. Welcome to the Word Bullet Podcast, James.
Absolute pleasure to be here.
It's my absolute pleasure to be here on your mansion in the sea. We are on James's yacht parked outside of Mipham in Cannes, France. And this is amazing. I like what you're doing here because, you know, you think about the times of sustainability we were just talking earlier. You've taken this underutilized asset that's sitting here and repositioned it from a leisure activity to an overnight accommodation to this meeting to a podcast studio.
We tried.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Look, I think it's very interesting what you guys are doing, in my opinion, with ActiveScore. And today, with so much emphasis being put on the customer experience of office buildings and creating the future of the office, it's important to be able to demonstrate how a building is valuable to its customers. So to set the stage here, you guys sort of have been on the scene for about 7 years. But since COVID, you've really taken off. We worked on a mutual project, 22 Bishopsgate in central London.
Correct, yeah.
Can you sort of set the stage here and tell us a little bit about how ActiveScore started with 22 Bishopsgate, what you did for them, and what sort of value you brought to the table?
Absolutely, yes. So 22 Bishopsgate, we got involved just before practical completion. So we were going to certify the building to see how good its active travel facilities were, but also offer some advice in terms of the services that they could provide to tenants once the building's live. So that was the start of the journey for us. Today, they're still a client many years on, and we offer them ongoing advice on infrastructure or services for people who may choose to actively travel. So, for example, bicycle servicing events, the building. It could be the Strava group that they've got within the building that gets people engaged with each other around the topic of active travel. And there could be events that have police marking days, et cetera, dry cleaning services. So we really try and encourage as much active travel to happen within the building, and that's by offering additional event services to the tenants.
So 22 Bishopsgate is the largest active commuter park in the City of London, in the Greater London even. Was that like a big birthday cake for you to get your hands on that?
Absolutely. It really was. It was a bit that we had our eyes on for a while in terms of we knew it was going to be best in class. But despite that, we thought that it really needed to have the ability to market the investment that the landlord or the developer had made into the active travel facility to potential tenants who may be looking for space. So that was a real driver for us. We thought we could add a lot of value alongside offering further, obviously, which I touched on earlier.
So is it safe to say that, 22 Bishopsgate had the highest leasing velocity in the City of London, 1.4 million square feet. I mean, it's not 100%, but it's nearly there now.
Absolutely.
Is it safe to say that this has been such an impact on that leasing velocity?
Absolutely. I'd say the active travel facility has been so popular there, and it was a real draw for tenants. When it came to leasing and actual people wanting to view the space, the active travel facility was a real kind of draw for viewings, etc. And obviously, the active score certification was able to give that third party independence, if you like, or validation that it really was as good as what they were saying. And it did achieve a 100 out of 100, a platinum 100 rating with active score. So it gave them that extra, if you like, proof to people looking before they kind of decided to take how many years lease on the space, that it was as good as obviously they were saying. So yes, 100%, it really did contribute to the leases and the uptake from tenants for the space.
That was my softball question, but now I want to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Is it just like today people are more active and they care about their health, their physical health, their mental health, their emotional health, that they want to be able to have multiple ways to enter, not commute in, and or commute in a more active way? And all of a sudden, you've come onto the scene to be able to help people figure out the best buildings to go into for that? Or is this something that's always been a need, it just wasn't being fulfilled?
Absolutely. I think there's been an increase for sure in culturally in terms of active travel. People have become more aware of being active over the past sort of 10 to 20 years. So I think that there has been an increase, but also I think that what's been the problem in the space is the lack of knowledge of how to design and deliver these best-in-class facilities that are going to encourage, if you like, the reluctant cyclist or the reluctant active traveller to switch to that form of transport. So that's why I think we're seeing, not just at 22 Bishopsgate, but across London, rest of the UK and across the world, these amazing examples of fantastic active travel amenities, changing rooms, lockers, showers, etc. appearing because, you know, building owners are realising this is what their tenants want.
Hi, how are you? Oh, can you hear me? Sorry, you're breaking up.
80% of mobile phone calls are made from inside buildings. And while energy-efficient building materials like low-E glass are good for the environment, they block mobile signal entering from outdoors. Poor indoor mobile signal can mean lower productivity for businesses, make buildings less appealing to prospective tenants, and ultimately impact the valuation of the building itself. Freshwave solves this problem. We deploy in-building mobile systems that connect directly to the mobile network you need, whether that's just one operator or four. This guarantees the quality of service. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
You talk about advice. Are you actually helping the landlord or the asset manager?
Absolutely, we are. So as part of the certification offering, we also have a design consultancy service. We can offer their design team or usually their architects advice on what a best-in-class active travel facility looks like. So what that really means is that we've got the architects what to do in terms of the quantities, the variation in terms of bike racks, lockers, the shower facilities, the quantities, etc. And also we help with the look and feel of the space because it's not enough now just to have whitewash walls in basements anymore. 22 Bishopsgate, as you touched on, it looks fantastic down there. It looks front of house. And for many people who use buildings, their front of house isn't the reception. Ultimately, it needs to be like a front of house space. And that is what we help them do. So yes, in answer to your question, we can help clients achieve in class outcome and we can hold their hand with doing that. That's how it works.
James, in the bio, we heard a little bit about your background. And so we know that you've got clearly a lot of experience in the active world. But can we bridge the gap here for a second? Or maybe there's no gap, but you know, from your previous and the other business that you have to now ActiveScore and something else we're going to be talking about in a moment, where does that connection come in?
That's a really good question. So in terms of where the connection is made, is the idea for ActiveScore was a landlord-led idea. So it came from our experience of delivering bicycle parking products to buildings in London, these large facilities that we've been talking about, and just supplying product. And we were hearing more and more that, you know, there was a requirement for certification. But also we realized the product manufacturing side of things that we obviously were running at the time, that there was a real knowledge gap, because we had a full-time product designer. But in terms of, yes, he designed products for us, but most of his time, and still is most of his time, is spent designing active travel facilities for architects. So architects would approach us with a basement area space on a plan and say, can you design this facility and put your products in it and design it? Because they didn't know how to do it. So that's in essence where it's come from. The need market to have a certification, like there's many other certifications looking at, you know, internet, you know, with WiredScore.
WiredScore is on the season.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Great. Well certification. I'm also a Well advisor to them. So I help them build their standards around the topic. Fitwell as well. We thought, well, there really needs to be a certification, and the market wanted it. But also that kind of realization that there was a lack of knowledge on how to design these facilities was why we've implemented design advice or a design advice offering within ActiveScore to run alongside the certification if I want it. That's not to say, you know, a client doesn't get advice on how to improve if they just go for the certification offering. We offer them, you know, details of how they can improve. We actually help them improve. So we help them set up, for example, services. 20% of what we score isn't infrastructure, it's service related. So we actually will guide our clients to local services nearby the building.
What kind of services?
So bicycle servicing, for example. Someone will come to the building and actually carry out bicycle maintenance on a given day, maybe once every 3 months or once every 6 months. And that is promoted within the building. And we help the building owner promote it, explain how they can do that. It can be through in-building app, for example. It could be through posters within the lift area, or more recently, it's the visual screens when you go into a building. And then on that given day, people know that there's going to be bike servicing. So the tenants bring their bike along and have it serviced at lunchtime. It could be for dry cleaning service. We'll link them up with a dry cleaning service nearby. We'll come to the building, take the clothing, clean it same day, drop it back.
So, okay, this would be a dumb question, but what does dry cleaning service have to do with active scoring?
That's a really good question. Obviously, people who choose to actively travel can end up being slightly sweatier than those that do not and want to have that option there. But then also, it's not just about, you know, active travel. These facilities aren't just about for those who actively travel. Yes, obviously, if you actively travel, it's nice to have a shower. And often that's how a lot of developers think of it. But, you know, God forbid someone decided to drive to work and then use the shower because they wanted to go out that evening. That's still a huge benefit to the tenant or the occupier. And it's a reason that they're poor to people to stay there. So that's just something that needs to be thought about. So it's these amenities aren't just end of trip. They're a lot more than that. And we are trying to just get that message across that, you know, it's a real important, it's a welfare benefit to the occupier.
That's a big value bomb.
You have some news we alluded to earlier. This week at MIPIM, you announced something. I got the email, was excited about it. So tell us more about it.
I'm glad you got the email. It's ModeScore certification. So ModeScore certification isn't a replacement, isn't replacing ActiveScore in any way, but it is encompassing ActiveScore within it if a client chooses to adopt ModeScore. And ModeScore has, again, is a client-led idea. It's where many clients of ActiveScore, when we've been talking to them, we've been offering advice, or they've been going through the assessment process, have asked us, could we help them with, you know, improving the other forms of sustainable transport or transport to their building. For example, okay, we have car parking. Can you advise us on how many parking spots should be for EVs? We want to encourage more, you know, transport via public use. We want to encourage more public transport. How could we get the message out about the different options there are? we want to improve the accessibility to our building. So we want to do more for people who have some kind of disability, not just physical, but it could be cognitive, it could, if they're blind, if they're deaf. So it's these other issues that we've been asked for advice on. But under active score, where we look at active travel, they just don't fit into that realm. So over the past 3 years, we've been developing mode score in the background, and we've been taking on advice, developing the standards, etc. And we're now at the point where we've been able to launch mode score. And we're absolutely delighted so far with the uptake. Again, as I mentioned, it's active score clients. So we've actually already had a commitment from early adopters of over 50 buildings or developments worldwide. One of them, for example, is in the Penn District. It's Meta's new HQ there. And conveniently, it has a train station within the building, which is kind of cool. You know, it's a really amazing building. So when we introduced the concept of the mode score to Laura Moss there, she was really, you know, really happy about it, because she was saying this is all in our messaging about connectivity and the whole transport picture. So they've actually now committed 10 of their buildings to mode score certification, and that totals over 10 million square foot. And it's the pole of the Penn District, which is where Madison Square Gardens is, for people that aren't familiar. And you've got Penn Station there, etc. So that's one example. Lendlease is another one. They're doing a number of their buildings in Australia, across Melbourne and Sydney. And it's a real kind of, I suppose, it's really proved to us that the demand for a focus on location and the different amenities when it comes to transport and making it more sustainable is very important.
I like a lot how you're being client-led.
Absolutely.
But I like even better that it's for the customer, the end user.
Yes.
And so you're client-led, but you're actually customer-led, and it's all about creating a better UI and UX for that customer, coming in for the design, helping the landlord provide that user interface, but ultimately giving a better experience for every single person that's walking through that door, commuting into the building. Can I boil it down, though, the mode score? Because I get active score,
yep,
cycling in. Mode score is about all modes of transportation getting into the building.
It is indeed. And what it's trying to do is it's a real option for new buildings and new construction, but also for existing buildings that are looking to do something about sustainability. Because
I want to stop you there. When you say something about sustainability, how is tracking and understanding the modes people are coming in and providing those options to customers, how is that helping with sustainability?
We've weighted the scoring assessment criteria towards making the various modes more sustainable. So, for example, with private vehicles that we'll look at, we accept that people are going to take a car to some buildings. It's inevitable. But we're going to try and reward, you know, buildings like 22 that offer no parking for cars. So there's going to be a scoring system that's going to encourage the sustainable options. Or by, for example, with public transport, we're going to make it very easy for tenants to know what options they've got around them in terms of bus stops, train stations. Is there, for example, shuttle bus that can run, etc.? Can a client set something like that up if they're an outside business park, to try and reduce people relying on their cars? So it's kind of switch people from just, I mean, for the more fossil fuel based option to something else. And we're accepting that you can't ride a bike everywhere. That you need, if you like, other options that are going to be different to just the car.
I wonder, and this is an idea that I've had, and I'm sure I'm not the only one with this kind of idea here, but I wonder if in the future of your scoring, the evolution of your scoring system, if you could, maybe you're already doing it, but could you ultimately score a building based on, dare I say, the carbon decrease of all the users coming in based on their transportation? Once you understand that, then you can say, okay, well, this building has this many people that are commuting by bike, commuting by public transportation, driving in. Therefore, you can make sort of, here's their postcode where they obviously anonymize it, give a sort of rating on that. Is that part of it? Is that coming?
That is such a good idea. We're already doing it.
Okay.
So, and we built our own clean air calculator for clients. And what that means is, this is within active score, we've had it in existence for 3 or 4 years, and we have clients using it to actually track, survey how many people are coming by bike, and then they're able to work out emissions saved by people actively traveling. And what's really good is, because they're doing the surveys on a yearly basis, they're then able to see the improvements that go on. And we've even had, more recently, sustainable linked loans being accessible to clients of ours and active school certification improvements have been written, like the demand for the improvements have been written into the loan agreement. So it's actually enabling clients to access finance for their assets, but they have to deliver when it comes to the emissions and show. So we work with the clients on that ongoing basis to make sure it happens.
There you go. Better interest rates on loans by providing more sustainable options for transportation.
Exactly. And that's obviously how it's going. The more sustainable a building is, often better interest rates can be provided. And obviously transport is such a high emissions generator if it's considered in the total picture of a building's emissions.
Is there already an example then? Is there data? Because I think that's super important. Absolutely. In real estate financing, understand what's trading. Have there been lease-ups that's been proven that the financing is more cost-effective and or the rental increase as a result of having more sustainable options, helping companies tick the ESG boxes?
That's a really, really good question. The research out there has been fairly limited around that because obviously it's a new area, but it's something, an area that we want to get more information on. However, we do have some really good examples, and we have had one recently from one of our partners at Holland Plus, where they were actually client side for a building in Bristol that we did design advice for. They then kind of repurposed, positioned the building, should I say. They only improved the basement of the building. The building was Castlemead. It was the tallest building in Bristol. It's an office building built originally in the 1980s. So all they did was put a good active travel facility in. And in what happened is we were able to get actual numbers, data around lease voids, increased rent they were able to charge, et cetera, et cetera. And what's really interesting is that the period this building went on the market was just after COVID. So you would expect it to be depressed. But what we've actually seen is that the interest in the building was huge. The agents couldn't believe how many inquiries they're getting to view the building, because in effect this new active travel facility had come in. It was based on a great cycling culture, etc. But you know, what's even more amazing, the building's now for sale. And what we've been able to find out from Holland Plus, they were originally the client, if you like, the client side, the team there, and they were able to find out that for £500,000 investment, which it cost in this facility, the building is now up for sale, and they anticipate that the difference is actually added at approximately £4 million to the value of the building.
That is impressive. And I think that anybody looking to on repositioning or even building a new building, it's significant. You've got to consider this. You mentioned a minute ago that there's limited research on it.
Yes.
What does the industry need to do right now so that there's more research, more data available for this?
They need to look at transportation and how people are getting to their buildings. I'm not talking about just commuters. I'm talking about how anyone gets to a building. They need to look at a survey, actually being able to get the data on this. It's been finding a way, and these platforms do exist. We have some partners that are able to provide the software to enable this tracking, but it's then getting the uptake for the tenants, employees or residents to actually provide this information of where they're coming from and where they're going to. So it's all there, but it needs to be more encouraged and it be much more focused on real estate, because the emissions of transport in some instances, and we've had one of our partners has done research, can be, if you look at emissions and the total emissions of the building, so transport, can be as high as 60%, can be down to the actual transportation, which sounds unbelievable, but they looked at 30 office buildings in Brussels. So, you know, it's quite a good kind of amount of buildings to look at. And the average of 60% was coming from the transport of employees. And that was taking into account the emissions that was produced by the building itself. So when you look at the whole picture, transport was a huge area for improvement when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah, I keep hearing my friends in the real estate industry saying working from home is worse on the environment because of the energy to heat someone's home or cool someone's home is more expensive than it is to, or even emits more carbon.
Okay, yes.
Than coming to an office building. But then you're saying that actually the most emissions are coming from the commuting. So that's a fascinating point. And I think that we want to really counter the work from home argument, or I say embrace the work from home, but also ensure that when they do come in, it's done in a sustainable way. Excellent. James, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So James, we'll put a link in the show notes to your LinkedIn so everybody can connect with you.
Brilliant.
And a link to your websites as well.
Perfect.
Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, take care of yourself.
Mobile signal inside buildings is a must-have. and connectivity infrastructure as a service provider Freshwave delivers it with flexible commercial terms that suit you. From landlord-funded mobile systems to pay-as-you-occupy, or a mixture of the two, we work with you to deliver the digital connectivity you and your building needs. So whether you're a real estate developer, landlord or tenant, we'll make sure you're on. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And remember, fortune favors the bold. Drumroll, please. P.S. If you want to find out about future-proofing your portfolio, head over to newflex.com.
Attention business owners, my name is Jason Allen Scott, and I've got a game-changing opportunity. At least I think it is, and so do my clients. Are you ready to build a wildly successful business from your podcast, or use your podcast to increase the success of your business? Why not try Podcasting for Business, the ultimate program to monetize your message and skyrocket your success? I'll work closely with you to refine your business model, revenue streams, and messaging, ensuring your podcast becomes a powerful tool for driving growth and generating income, just like we've done for so many clients before. As a seasoned podcasting coach, I've helped countless entrepreneurs transform their podcasts into thriving, profitable ventures. Our unique hybrid coaching model combines online learning with personalized one-to-one coaching calls. Together, we'll fine-tune your podcast's business potential, creating a clear roadmap to success that aligns with your goals and vision. Don't miss this opportunity to transform your podcast into a profitable business. Visit podcastingforbusiness.co today and take the first steps towards unlocking your podcasting potential. Let's build something special together.